Well, Mick Ablett joins us now. And Mick, before we do talk about your role with up-and-coming talent through the AFL system, you've got your own story to tell about the Frankston Football Club, where you were a key player.
Yeah, morning, boys. Thanks for having me on. And I did catch the tail end of that, and it brought back some memories, actually, of both Nige and myself running around many years ago for Springy and Frankston. But fantastic to see that the board have regained control of the footy club. And, you know, obviously through a busy time, I haven't been able to attend a lot of the meetings they've had, but I did get down to one prior to the draft. And there's a lot of people putting in a huge amount of work. And Peter Geddes, the legendary three-time best and fairest, has been heading those committees up. So certainly very important when you see the depth of talent on the Mornington Peninsula at an under-18 level, and then you see what the Dolphins have been able to produce over probably the past 10 years with guys like Chris Bryan and Mark Bagley and Michael Hibbard and Aaron Edwards and the like getting an opportunity through the Frankston Dolphins. So we look forward to seeing him back in 2018, that's for sure.
Mick, let's fast forward to present day. You've just returned from Darwin, where the Level 2 Academy under new coach Luke Power gathered for, I guess, their first official duties as they undertake, a six-month block to try and prepare themselves ahead of the 2017 NAB AFL Draft. Tell us about what the boys will put through up in the NT.
Yeah, it was brilliant, Nige. We were up at the Michael Long Learning and Leadership Centre up there under AFL NT CEO Michael Solomon and the talent manager Wally Gallio. We were fortunate enough to give us the run of the place, and it's an outstanding facility. It's easily comparable to an AFL club. So the guys were put through some pretty tough training, like you say, under new coach Luke Power, and Luke did a fantastic job with some assistance. Brad Johnson and also Peter Sumich on board, so got some real relevance to current day coaching with those guys in the mix. But I think the boys got a bit of a shock first up with the heat. It was certainly a testing time, and that's something that we'd purposely targeted going to Darwin, was to challenge the boys in that environment and see how they'd respond. But they underwent fitness testing and numerous training sessions, strength and conditioning sessions. So Luke basically set the week up as what it was like being in an AFL club environment for that period.
AFL recruiters on hand, certainly not going on holiday straight after the national draft. They're up there to try and assess the next crop as well from up close. And character is now such a big component of what AFL clubs look for to bring in a player potentially. Tell us about what they were able to observe up there, in particular, I guess, the cultural experience the boys had by travelling across to the Tiwi Islands for a period of time as well.
Yeah, we put a really big emphasis in the NAB AFL Academy on improving the players as people first and foremost. We think, you know, if we can get that part right, their talent will generally take care of itself with some help. But yeah, the clubs were able to interview the players, so it's amazing. We're only a matter of 72 hours after the rookie draft and pre-season draft had taken place, and they're already on to interviewing the 2017 draft crop. So they were certainly still in work mode, and yeah, they were able to travel across to the Tiwi Islands, which was an outstanding cultural experience for our boys, and something that they'll never forget, just to be able to interact with young children, teenagers, and the like, who you just get a whole new perspective, boys, on passion for the game when you go across to the Tiwi Islands. They live and breathe football, and they just can't get enough of it. So Nick Del Sano was the big hit over there. He was like a god over there on the Tiwi Islands, Del. So they certainly had a good time, and we certainly got a lot out of it.
Let's move on to a number of these academy players being, as we speak, invited to and taking up the opportunity to spend time at AFL clubs. How is the division sorted out? I can see that there are Victorians that are heading west. There's no border control here. It's very much, I imagine, aimed at mirroring the experience that might happen on draft day.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, Finey. The West Coast one, Aaron Darling, unfortunately, did his ACL just prior to camp. He's a cousin of Jack Darling, so that's why he was headed west. But we had Hayden McLean, who is just coming back from Sydney today. He's a boy from the Sandringham Dragons. So we like to try and give the boys as much of a life experience as anything in terms of what they may face, like you mentioned, in 12 months' time, should they be fortunate enough to get drafted and have to face up to moving to another part of the state or interstate, whatever the case may be. We've had some fantastic feedback. I just spoke to one club yesterday that said that their coaching staff couldn't be more impressed with a player's ability in match simulation, in the defensive transition stuff, and that just goes to show the job that Luke Power and his assistants are doing in camp with these boys is holding them in really good stead going forward.
And Mick, this time last year we had names like Ainsworth, Simpkin, Brody, Scrimshaw, Petrevsky, Seaton, to name a few that were in the Level 2 Academy and have transitioned into being first-round draft picks. Give us three or four names to put in a time capsule for 12 months' time.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Nigel. We've got there's a little bit of in-house debate between myself and Luke Power at the moment. He thinks the 2018 draft's going to be the super draft. I'm on next year, mate. I think it's going to be outstanding. The likes of young men like Lockie O'Brien, a Bendigo Pioneers boy at Geelong Grammar. He's an outstanding prospect. Jaden Stevenson, a young midfielder from the Eastern Rangers who's just got absolute class and X factor like you wouldn't believe. There's going to be some tall defenders. Oscar Claverino from the Dandenong Stingrays is a pretty impressive player too. And, and then you go across to other parts of the country, mate, and guys like Jared Brander, who's a GWS Giants prospect, also a Geelong Grammar, who's also an elite cricketer. But guys like those are some of the players that I've got no doubt are going to feature early in the draft next year. And I just really see next year's draft as being one of those that is going to have anything you want. It's going to bat deep. There'll be tall forwards, tall defenders, mids. It's a very, very exciting group.
Won't bat too deep if Joel Garner gets the ball in his hands.
Yeah, yeah, no, Joel's an outstanding young man. He's actually headed to Queensland with the Carlton Footy Club. And what we were chatting about before, Finey, they've been great in offering the boys an experience of actually taking them on a pre-season camp with them. And I've got no doubt that Joel will represent himself and everyone else very, very well. He's a young Indigenous boy that's got leadership written all over him.
In the next couple of years, a great football story will be written because Charlie Spargo looks destined to play at the highest level and he will become a fourth generation Spargo to play football at the highest level. Great-grandfather played with merit for both Footscray and Victoria in the 30s. His grandfather, who we interviewed this year on 11:16 SEN, Jeff Poulter and myself, was a member of the 61 losing Bulldogs grand final team. I think his father is Paul.
And correct.
Maybe the last player to make a debut in a league final. He certainly made his debut for North Melbourne in the final. So not just fourth generation, but a very proud football family.
Yeah, and they'll be disappointed, the Kangas, because I think Paul might have played about 85 games.
Yeah, missed
just
out.
Just short of the father-son, but Charlie's he's one of those rare-type prospects that's got real genuine competitiveness and aggression in his game, and he'll shape up to them whether they're 200 centimetres or 178 or whatever it happens to be. He just loves the challenge. He's always up for the fight, and I've got no doubt the Giants and everyone will be watching Charlie very, very closely.
And the one player that may well be training at his future club is Chris Naish's son.
Yeah, Paddy Naish. He reminds me a lot, boys, of Angus Brayshaw at the same point. He's got that real cheeky, bubbly personality and he's also got some real genuine X factor. So he's still working on his game. He's learning to develop and to play different roles and got a little bit of maturing to do, but he's an outstanding kid, Paddy, and someone that that can bring some real life to a footy club. And yes, he's down there training with the Tigers, and I'm sure we all love the romance, myself included, of the father-sons coming through and being able to fill the shoes of what their once famous fathers did.
Well, Mick, we're speaking with Mick Ablett. The one thing that the AFL cannot be accused of is throwing these boys into the deep end when they leave the underage system and wide-eyed and unaware of what the future holds. Various academies absolutely prepare them for the next phase of their football life if they are good enough to play at the highest level, or even if they are playing at secondary or club level, they get a really good understanding of what is required of a senior footballer, and more power to you. I'm sure we're going to hear of some of these names, hopefully at our clubs, in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, absolutely, Finny. I appreciate that. And I think, you know, we hear a lot about the gap between underage football and senior football, but I think the proof's in the pudding in seeing what guys like Jacob Wiedering and even Josh Dunkley playing in a grand final in his first year were able to do. And it just speaks volumes for what the talent programs around the country are doing, not just the national program, but also what the individual states are doing. And we're very, very proud of the structure that we've currently got in place.
Actually, to that end, I must ask you this question. I'll bring up this point. Much was made when Tasmania failed to get a player taken in this year's national draft, and so easy to finger point at the AFL, as some regularly do, and say that it's because of neglect. They don't have a team in the national competition and they're not being given at underage level the same attention as, say, a Queensland or New South Wales. But that's not true. There is a Tasmanian academy. And in fact, am I right in saying that next season the academies meet in a modified version, well, a more sensible version of underage state football, because they'll be playing each other as academies, which seems more fitting?
Absolutely, you're spot on, Fonny. We've restructured what was once the Division 2 AFL Under-18 Championships, and they'll now play in their own right, the four AFL club academies, being the Swans, the Giants, the Suns and the Lions, and that'll also include the NT and Tassie. So that's going to be a fantastic five-match program that'll extend the Division 2, or the old Division 2 series, to what will be now known as the Academy Series. And then that will lead into us selecting the 2017 Under-18 Alloys team.
After you hand out the Academy Awards.
Yeah, correct, mate. No, there's a few that could possibly be up for them. So, no, look, that's going to be exciting. It allows more exposure for both the NT and Tassie, as well as an opportunity for the players to play for their AFL Club Academy. And Tasmania are then also going to extend their program and look to play a couple of games against the likes of a South Australian team. They'll go over there in preparation for the Academy Series. They'll also look to play even potentially one of the Vic State Academies in their lead into the Under-18 Championships is in a trial-type capacity as well. So, look, there's some exciting prospects. It's going to get a little bit better for Tassie next year, and I think in 2018, look out for a couple of young men. Taron Thomas is one of the best prospects in the country, an Indigenous player who cleaned up. He was best for Tassie in the Under-18 Championships this year, and then he cleaned up both at the Under-16 Championships for Tassie and with the division medal as well. So there's a bright future there. Chase Jones is the other young Tasmanian that I'm sure will feature pretty heavily in the 2018 draft.
Mick, thanks for joining us. Always highly informative and almost tantalisingly giving us information about football stars of the future. Hope my club chases Chase. Mick, we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, boys.